Hey everybody, this is Mandy, and I like the seventh season of Girlfriends.
Hi everyone, this is Ollie, and I went on a flight last night, and it was amazing. And this is the Mandy and Ollie podcast.
You search for guys with the most things. Daddy ran away and left your mama with the keys to the Mustang. Yeah, keys to the Mustang.
Mandy, I am so happy to hear that you're still watching Girlfriends, because I think I'm at either the end of season four or the beginning of season five. And I've been trying to figure out which girlfriend am I. I took a quiz and I didn't agree with the results. It just seemed too limited. And I wanted to,
share the results?
It said I was Maya.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Which,
that's
again,
not what I would pick for you, but
me either. I just felt like the questions were too limited. But I also want to, I want to finish the series so I can, so we can have the discussion as a girlfriends group, which girlfriend do you resonate most with? I like doing that.
You do. That's why I'm laughing.
I like doing that. You guys, we did it with Waiting to Exhale, and we did it with another quartet. I can't remember, though. Definitely Waiting to Exhale, though. But yeah, those are fun for me. How do you feel about it?
I can't remember the other one we did either, but the Waiting to Exhale one, it just didn't feel like it fit us for the most part, or at least it didn't fit me. And I think we all said that. We just kind of gave me whomever was left. Which was Gloria. That was fine. But I kind of feel with Girlfriends that because it's a television show and there's a lot of different aspects to them and changes that they go through, that none of us really can fall into any one category because they make certain changes in their life, and that reflects all of us at different points in our lives.
Yes, I completely and fully agree with that.
Go ahead. Sorry, it just reminds me of, I think I said this on the podcast before, where when I was watching Living Single and I was like, I never used to think I was Max, and now I'm Max. I think it's kind of like that with Girlfriends.
I'm going to have to rewatch Living Single, start to finish, and then we can play this again. But just to see how accurate Max is for you, because what I remember of Maxine, her seriousness, her goofiness, her hidden love affairs, I don't know. But that's why I can't make a judgment until I watch it again from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'll play by the time you finish Girlfriends if you want to. But
yes. That's a big deal, you guys. Mandy doesn't always play along, so you heard it here. She said it. She said she's gonna play.
I did say I'd play. I did.
Okay.
But I like the seventh season, which is the first season that
Tony's not there, right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, it fell off after that, and it's definitely different, but I feel like they did a lot more things that were drama that I really appreciate, especially in rewatching Girlfriends. That first season when Joan would just talk to the camera, it's it would be it was goofy, and then they progressively kept introducing more things that were drama. And I think by the seventh season, they were really we're going for the drama. And I really liked that. They weren't afraid to really talk about some serious stuff. And you were definitely missing the jokes that we would get from Tony's character, but it was still good to me.
Did you feel like there was a void, or do you feel like they filled it in themselves?
I think that William really filled in the void. Between Tony and William, William always brought a different kind of comedy. So I think they had to double up on William's kind of comedy because they didn't have Tony's.
Okay. And I saw they got together and I watched that interview, but did Tony leave because of like bad reasons? Do you know, like, was there an issue with her leaving, or was it just like she was naturally written off?
My understanding is the actress Jill Marie Jones was like in a different place in her life, which I feel like did kind of reflect in Tony's character, where Tony would like find religion.
Mm-hmm.
And was like trying to be less, for lack of a better word, like ho-ish. Not that she was like ever ho-ish. Yeah, not that she was ever ho-ish, right. But I think she was just kind of like, her moral standard was kind of like all over the place originally. And then she started to really, you know, like before she got with Todd, mm-hmm. She had found God and she wasn't really like sleeping around. And so then she was with Todd, and even after her and Todd broke up, she still wasn't sleeping around, even when she was seeing other people. And I think that's probably in part because of the actress's like moral compass or whatever was telling her like she didn't want to do X, Y, and Z and stuff.
That's interesting to me because, you know, Val, the woman who plays Val on Shameless.
Yeah.
Or V, sorry. She is, like, if anyone hasn't seen Shameless, like, there's been, like, nudity, just crazy scenes, the crazy storyline, like, plot and everything like that. But she is a super devout Christian woman. She says she only listens to gospel music. She, you know, reads her Bible, does all these things. And I'm just like, your character isn't, like, the complete opposite. Your character's on another planet. So it's just interesting to have this... kind of these two characters, these two women playing these Black women in these situations, and one being able to say, you know what, I can handle both sides, and the other one saying, you know what, for me, I gotta back away from this.
It's a similar thing on Insecure with Yvonne Orji. Like, she is a devout Christian. She has, you know, said to the world how she's a virgin and yeah. She's saving herself for marriage and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And people also, you know, they always compare Molly to Tony, where they're like, oh, she's a hoe, but she's like corporate, but she's this and she's that and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But on Insecure, I feel like they make it to where Molly doesn't have to show any nudity or doesn't have to do certain things
mm-hmm.
that maybe Yvonne feels comfortable. I didn't know that about V's character, that she or V's, the actor that plays V, mm-hmm. because yeah, like I've seen her whole body yep. quite a few times.
Yep. Yep. All right. What's going on with your goals, Mandy? How are your goals coming along? If you're watching them come along or not.
Yeah, all I put was still doing school, no new goals. So I'm pretty much just keeping my head above water.
Okay.
Something the way that I can.
All right. Temporary walks. Easy credit ripoffs. Yeah. Okay. For my goals, I wrote down that, I'm doing a bit of personal organizing. I mentioned before that I have a reselling business and things are just getting kind of like crowded and just kind of crazy. And I'm kind of like, I feel like maybe this happens once every blue moon, where it's like when I have really good items, I try my best to wait for the right buyer. But sometimes I'm just like, you know what? Just let it go. Like if you made a profit off of it, let it go, because you have stuff piling up, you're waiting for the right buyer, but the right buyer maybe is the person that offered you a little bit less and you should have just accepted it. Maybe that was the right buyer instead of just, you know, the price you have in mind. So one of my goals has been not just personally, like kind of purging my own closet, but purging some of my inventory. So that's what I've been working on, and it's been feeling really good to see stuff emptying out.
Well, you know, I can appreciate that, because I'm definitely on that get rid of it type energy. And I try, I guess you've spoken to the group about certain things regarding like your business, and mm-hmm. I'm like, how do I think about this from a professional standpoint? Because from a personal standpoint, I'm just like, why are you buying this, or why are you waiting to get rid of that, or blah, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, it makes sense that you would want the best outcome for you financially. But for me, I would just be like, oh, someone's offering more. You can have it. So yeah. If you feel like that's working for you overall in your business, then yeah, I'm very happy for you.
Gracias. I appreciate that. Ooh, are you ready to move into the safe space?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. This might be not safe for work, so I don't know. Play me in your ears. Ooh. Do whatever it is you got to do. Prepare the room. Get your mood. Yeah, so usually when I do laundry, I do it all. And I haven't been able to schedule out a time to do laundry just yet. So I opened up a new pack of panties that I have for sale. And I put them on, and when I say these are the sexiest, most comfortable work-it panties I've ever worn in my life, I just feel like people have been keeping panty knowledge away from me. Like, these have just been sitting in a bin for, like, maybe 4 months at this point, waiting for someone to buy them. And I could have been wearing them and kept them to myself this whole time. And I just... like, if it, like, the, okay, so this is how it looks. So it's a black pair. It's a Victoria's Secret pair of panties. Let me just interject and say this too. Mandy might not know this. Yeah. I am putting a pin in myself. Mandy might not know this, but she's the one who put me on to Victoria's Secret panties. I think this was either high school or college. I want to say it had to be high school because.
Yeah, I always wore Victoria's
Secret. Yeah, but I'm saying little Ollie, like elementary, middle, high school was like, Pains, Fruit of the Loom. My mom had me in those little girl packs of panties. And then when I became more, you know, grew and matured, it was just, okay, let's move to the adult Fruit of the Loom, the adult blah, blah. So I don't remember if I was with you and your mom one time or what. We went to Victoria's Secret. I was like, what is this? What is this? Na-na-na-na-na-na. What's this? Na-na-na-na-na-na. I was just so confused and happy, and it just felt so girly and all sorts of good things. But anyways, I remember that's when I got my first pair of VS panties. And I haven't looked back since. All of my underwear just slowly transitioned out in this all VS now. So I shouldn't be surprised, but the way these fit is like the front is covered all the way, but the hip is out, some cheekage is out, and then my middle and the left and right middle are like covered. But these feel so comfortable. They feel so sexy. I feel like some Instagram thotty hottie. Like, I'm just feel like I'm that chick right now. No one knows though, but nobody knows. I'm the only person who knows.
Yeah, I'm glad that you feel that way.
They're so sad. I almost sent it would have been like tasteful, but I almost sent a picture to the group chat like, y'all, look at these new panties. I kind of still do want to send it. They're just so comfortable and just so, and they look like they're supposed to be uncomfortable. These are so comfortable. It's wild. So yeah. Unpin. That's my entry.
You should have, yeah, because you did pin yourself. You should have, it wasn't another part.
I think that's it, because it was, yeah, I should have unpinned earlier. I just want to say I look sexy in these. I wish I could send a picture to somebody, but I ain't got nobody to send a picture to. So that's why I'm strongly contemplating sending the picture to my girlies. Be like, yo, look at this. I'm so excited. I want to share it, but I can't.
Someone that we know recently, I mean, theirs are like professional pictures, but they took a little lingerie-esque pictures, and I was just like, and at first, even when she had posted it like on the, you know, the 24-hour Instagram thing, and I was like, go off, and then she was like, oh, I was so nervous about it, and now she done put it on the main Instagram page, and I'm like, yes, because find that confidence, you look sexy. Mm-hmm. So I have a couple of things to say to that then. Okay. One, in terms of the Victoria's Secret panties, I did always wear Victoria's Secret panties growing up because that's what my mom wore, but we didn't necessarily like have the sexy ones or the cute ones. Like Victoria's Secret also make like granny panties.
Yep. For sure.
And I think she just figured that they made a quality panty, and my mother is all about a quality item.
Mm-hmm.
She's not afraid to
spend up,
spend a dollar.
Yep.
Yeah. Feel like it's worth it. So that is, if you're wondering why was Mandy a little hot pocket, she was not. She just my mom is not the one that was about to buy me sexy underwear, I promise. But additionally, in talking about like just finding that sex and that comfort and blah blah blah, I associate that a lot with Caribbean culture, particularly at carnival.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do carnival, you're basically in your bra and panty that has been glittered and
bejeweled and feathered
and all that stuff. Yeah.
Y'all look bomb.
And it's that to me is like the biggest form of confidence, because a lot of times those women don't look like Victoria's Secret models. They're not like pixie stick frames, right, or whatever. It's very much like, I'm not surprised Rihanna made Savage X Fenty, because she's a Caribbean woman and she knows when you go to carnival, everybody is in that and they look all shapes and sizes and they're, mm-hmm, just wearing that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only done carnival once,
mm-hmm,
and I made my costume, but I definitely, like, once I got past the, okay, I'm about to put it on, like, I never felt like anyone was staring at me or looking at my body in a way, mm-hmm, that, like, I can't believe she's wearing that and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So it does feel nice, like, when you wear something and you find that confidence for yourself that you don't feel self-conscious.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely a great example, because I feel that I love seeing all these different body sizes and people going all out for their costumes or experiencing their first carnival. I haven't been yet, but I love seeing your costume. I love seeing the people you went with. I love seeing the people just in the streets, just like, here we are all together. And that's not the focus of it. The focus is us to have fun, fellowship, drink, dance, turn up, walk around, parade, chill out. Like, I love that that's not the focus. The focus isn't my body. So, yeah.
Yeah, if anyone's, like, looking at the body, it's to see, like, the costume more, mm-hmm, so than, like, people's actual bodies.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I love that.
So, you planning to break open some more panties?
You know what? I'm probably going to go panty shopping. I think that's what I want to do. I want to go in person and just see what else is out there, because I have these and I didn't even know I had them and I didn't know it was out there. So maybe my view is limited, because I'm always like shopping online. So maybe I need to go into like an actual store and see for myself. So yeah, I'm going to go into a store. Give me some panties, some pantalones. What's your entry for the safe space?
My entry for the safe space, I feel like, is going to be, I mean, I don't know if controversial is the wrong word, but
taboo?
No, I just don't think it will be agreed upon, even by you and I.
Well, that's not different new than usual, right? Nothing unnormal. Then I was like, I don't think unnormal is a word. Go ahead.
And I'm going to read it first the way that I wrote it.
Okay.
And then, and I think you'll think I'm talking about one thing, but I'm talking about multiple things. So what I wrote is, I understand how important it is to feel seen, but don't shit on others just to keep your shine. So in this post-election season, there are a lot of people who are happy about how certain things turned out and are praising the process of like people voting and who was elected and the representation that they feel like they've seen come about through this election cycle. There's so many people who have been elected where it's like they're the first of whatever, first trans person elected to Congress, the first black person elected in this role, the first black female elected to this role, the first Asian lady elected to this role, the first gay black gay person elected to this role. It's a lot of that. And or just the voter turnouts, like how things have been able to shift to blue in certain areas. And folks are like tooting, you know, tooting the horn of where they feel like, oh, we did that, right. Which is cool. And I've seen a lot of it in the same breath. They like, in trying to toot their own horn, they're either trying to disregard someone else's horn or literally like shitting on someone else's horn. Mm-hmm. Or being like, pipe down, it's, you know, it's not time for you to toot your own horn.
I know where you're going with this.
Okay, where am I going? I wanted to...
Are you going to reference Eva?
So, that's where I thought that you thought I would go.
As a reference, because... yes. But not as like the whole thing.
Okay. Eva Longoria did do that.
And she backtracked and tried to clarify.
And clarification is important, you know, because what she said didn't make no sense.
Really?
When I watched the interview clip, mm-hmm. the man doing the interview said women of color. So he didn't create any sort of specific pointing comparison. Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Comparison, superiority, whatever, which is what a lot of people have been doing where they're like, you know, this specific group did this. That man didn't do that. He said women of color, people of color, which encompassed the Latinx community and Latin women. Mm-hmm. But somehow it seemed like Eva heard, oh, he calling out the black women, or other people have been calling out the black women, so I have to highlight the Latin women, which is fine. But the way that she structured it, she said, well, I know the black women did this in Atlanta or in the South, in Georgia, but... And she said, but Latin women are the real heroines.
Yep.
And when I saw that, and I definitely didn't agree with her doing that, but I feel like black women and black people were doing that too all week. And I didn't like when anybody did it. I feel like black people in particular were doing it when it came to Kamala. I've seen them disregarding her Indian heritage to be like, nope, she a black woman.
Interesting.
When throughout many of her ride into mm-hmm. campaign into being mm-hmm. For presidency,
yep.
they was barely trying to claim her because they didn't like some of her policies
yep.
and how it affected the black community.
Yep.
They were very exclusionary to her. And then now that she's the vice president, are they like, oh, Kamala, that's our girl, not y'all girl. She went to an HBCU, so she can't be y'all girl. As someone who went to an HBCU, specifically the one she attended, Howard University, there are a lot of...
minorities?
Yes. There are other people of color there, including Indian women. But especially as someone who is of Caribbean Jamaican descent, Kamala's also Jamaican, you understand in the Caribbean culture that, yes, the Indian people are there, the Chinese people are there, and it's very, it's not, her identity is not uncommon. And, like, having that acknowledgement of both and still, like, being able to, I was just like, nobody's keeping you from saying black women did that thing. Mm. But you also don't have to shit on anybody else to lift yourself up. You really don't have to.
Mm. And you said you thought I would disagree with you?
Yes, because early on in the podcast, and I addressed, I didn't disagree with you, but I just like reworded it for myself. But you said something to the effect of like, sit down, it's wait your turn. I don't remember.
I know what you're referring to. I didn't use those words exactly. I was basically saying that we were talking about film and television, and we were talking about how Black people were finally starting to get leading roles and whatnot. And as the shine is on Black people, all these other people of color, like, well, what about me? What about us? What about this? And I was specifically also bringing up Miss Little Jane the Virgin when, Gina Rodriguez. And she was like, well, what about the Latin people and like Latinx people and da da da. And it's just like, dang, we just sat in the chair. Y'all already ready to play musical chairs again. Can you not give Black Americans a time to shine and enjoy this? So I see what you're referencing. In the grand scheme of things, I don't believe on pooping on other people or like someone else getting up the ladder, then hiding the ladder, then acting like they're helping someone get out the hole and reaching their hand out and not really helping. Like, I don't believe in that whole thing. I can see why people are reveling in their contribution when they've been overlooked and marginalized and told that, you know, Black people are this kind of stereotype or archetype, but it's like, actually we, or they, whomever is agreeing, came out in troves and waves, and we contributed. We did our part, just like we did our part in the previous election. So I can see why people are reveling in that. I can understand that, and I wouldn't say I'm for or against it, because I do feel like it does create this level of divisiveness again when you're celebrating one type of person, but also it goes back to different heritages and ethnicities that have their like own celebrated holidays or months and stuff. It's like, it, I think that's fine because we're celebrating our differences and we're celebrating our contributions as people who are different in different regards. So I don't feel like that's a problem for me.
Right. I think for me, it's because everyone's not trying to celebrate everyone's. It's, if it was just like everyone has their contributions and we're trying to celebrate all of it, then it wouldn't feel divisive. But it's the fact that they're like, I'm going to celebrate mine. I don't even want, like, don't come over here acknowledging yours. It's the fact that on posts where people were like saying Kamala's the first Black woman in this position. And then, and you know, people would also be like, oh, and she's Indian too. And they'd be like, but we're not talking about that right now. Oh, how can you not like, or they just be like, we're, you know, I'm only going to acknowledge her Black part because I'm Black type thing. And it's like, but she every day of her life encompasses both. So you deciding that you don't want to acknowledge it, or you're going to brag on someone else for acknowledging it, it doesn't make sense, because her being a Black woman is never going to take away from her also being an Indian woman, because she is both all the time. Like, when I saw, even you doing the food, well, I'm so surprised by it, because you're very...
We've talked about this during the previous episode. I do not believe that biracial people are just one thing. They are biracial or multi-ethnic. That's its own grouping. And that's just factual. Just like, again, if I was Black and white, I can't just be like, oh, I'm a Black woman, or oh, I'm a white woman. I would fall into the category of biracial. So...
Right. So that's what I'm saying, is like, she falls into both categories all the time. Like, every day of her life, she is Black and she's Indian.
She is a biracial woman or a multi-ethnic woman, yes. So I don't agree with these people that are just like, oh, what are we talking about? First of all, I don't see her as a Black woman. I see her as a brown woman. She's Indian. So partly, and Jamaican. Her father's Jamaican. So I don't agree with people being like, oh, Middle Eastern people, get out of here, or Black people, get out of here, or whatever other ethnicity she might have in her bloodline, get out of here. We're only talking to the Black folks. We're only talking to Indian folks. I don't agree with that kind of behavior. But I will say, for me, she falls into a third category, which is biracial or multi-ethnic. So I don't see her as a Black woman. I don't see her fully as a Middle Eastern woman. I don't see her fully as a Jamaican woman. I see her as biracial.
But, it, I mean, it also happens, like I said, with, like, people who have been, like, identify as Black and queer, and they're the first ones holding, like, certain elected positions in Congress for their roles as well. And it's like, oh, some people like, we trying to acknowledge this queer part, or we're trying to acknowledge this Black part. And it's like, it's all the parts. That person is all those things all the time. They don't take a break from being any of those things, especially if they, I know, like, in theory, you could not publicly admit to being queer, but clearly they have. So that's part of how they have chosen to present themselves to the world. They wanted that to be that's a reflection of their life. That's a, you know, reality for them, and they wanted that to be known and reflected in their position in them applying or campaigning for that role. So to me, it's just like when people often try to only appreciate or highlight the parts that they like, and then they like get mad, like, not again, not just like, I get, like, if you don't have, you don't identify with that part, so maybe you don't put shine on it, but it's the me seeing people, like, trying to shit on folks for shining on that. Like, no, we're not doing that right now. For what? Like, why, what, like, they are that all the time. You can't decide that they, that that part isn't important. That's a reflection of that person's life. Or, and yeah, in the voting, I was listening to statistics that they were, or looking at statistics that they were talking about in terms of the voter registration that happened in Georgia, that of course helped contribute to Georgia turning blue. And it's like only maybe 50% of those new voter registrations out of 800,000 were people of color. So then we would then have to acknowledge that, you know, white people were a part of the process in registering to vote and turning blue. And yes, and, you know, even when they talk about the counties that contributed, like, yes, those counties are heavily filled with Black people or brown people, but, you know, they, there could have been Asian people that contributed to that vote, and there could have been white people that contributed to that vote. And I'm seeing them, you know, acknowledge these beautiful things too, and saying, like, you know, the first Black woman and the first, and, you know, we were able to go, but it, it just, it feels so frustrating to me when folks are trying to just, like, in crediting themselves, they only want to credit themselves and they only want to credit certain parts. It feels like when certain changes have been made throughout history and they're like, oh, we can only show this part. This is the part that looks good. This is the part that sounds good. We have to remove all those other things because it doesn't fit with the narrative that we're trying to give. It doesn't look like the message that we're trying to put out there. And it's like, either put out the facts or, like, shut up. Like, either let it be what it is or don't say anything. And that doesn't mean that I, as a Black woman who comes of Jamaican heritage that went to Howard University, I'm not going to claim all of those things that I have in common with the vice president-elect. I am, but I'm also going to be like, and she an Indian woman? Go off, sis.
I do want to say this about Eva Longoria. So I believe Eva Longoria's backtrack, because this is what was originally said, and this was quoted as her talking. Women of color showed up in big ways. Of course, you saw in Georgia what Black women have done, but Latina women were the real heroines here, beating men in turnout in every state and voting for Biden Harris at an average rate of 3-1. So I want to pin this right here. First of all, I don't, I'm like, I'm not trying to tell somebody about their culture, but I'm about to tell her about her culture. Black women can be Latina as well. So I don't know what she was saying with that. That's the first faux pas. Two, when I first saw this, I was like, why is she bringing up Black women in comparison to Latino women? But the part after she backtracked and clarified, the reason I believed her is because the last part here where she's comparing Latino women, she says beating men in turnout in every state and voting for Biden Harris, blah, blah, 3-1. So that's the part where I was like, okay, I can see what you mean, but how you said it, and because of the preface, the beginning of the sentence, it seemed like you were downing Black women in their contribution. And her response was, my wording was not clear, blah, 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 blah. Black women have been the backbone, blah, 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 blah. Latinas and women of color are standing with them, blah, 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 blah. And then she says she was talking about Latino men. So she was trying to make the comparison to Latino men. And I was like, okay, I believe you. It seems sincere, and her clarity wasn't just like she pulled something out of her butt. And I was like, okay, I see where there was a discrepancy, or what do you call that? That M word, misunderstanding. And I was like, I can see where what she said was misunderstood. And I believe when she backtracked and said, all right, this is what I meant. So that's what I took from that situation specifically.
Yeah, I believe that she misspoke and didn't mean what she ended up saying. And I feel like because she's in the public eye, she is quick to be called out for what she says and have to, address what she says. And I feel like a lot of other people not being in the public eye, just being folks on the internet, feel like they don't have to review things that they say. They can just be like, nope, that's what I said. And it's like, but if you think, take a moment to reflect on the words that you're saying, you can see how it may be misconstrued, if you feel like it was misconstrued, or how it can create a divisiveness that you didn't intend for it to create. But a lot of people don't even take that moment to like reflect on it because they don't have to.
That's true. You said she was in spotlight, and I was like, Eva Longoria? Because I haven't seen her in my spotlight in a long time, but apparently she's heavy in politics. She's the co-founder of this group called She Se Puede. If y'all remember that, Disney movie, Si Se Puede, Yes We Can. So yes, she can.
She produces a lot of things, as opposed to being in front of the screen now.
Okay, so yeah, I again, after reading her clarification, I was like, okay, I understand what you meant, but I agree with you, Mandy, that if she would have just maybe took time to reflect, also, and not make an excuse, but maybe she was just so excited to talk about her Latinas in her life who contributed the way they did. And, you know, it's because she did get excited when she was talking about, oh, but let's talk about this and how they did this and did that. But it's like you say, you don't have to shit on someone else just so that your shit stays shiny. Shiny.
Not quite what I said, but sure, shiny shit.
Shiny shit. Okay. Are you ready to move on to our meat and potatoes?
Yum, yum.
So I wanted to talk about how lots of negative situations can spawn positive results. And what I mean by that, and I hope you guys are able to relate, is that maybe after the storm or even during the storm, you can see like you're a better person because of something, or maybe you're more patient because of something, or maybe you were able to make a life decision because of something that didn't start off in a good place or that didn't start off as being positive. So I want to ask you, if you found yourself recently in a situation that was negative, but you were like, you know what, I'm going to come out stronger from this, or you know what, through this situation, I was able to meet so-and-so, or you know what, I was able to be a better friend because of this, or if you had anything recently that would fall within that category.
I wouldn't say recent, but I feel like this incident has continued to show itself to be beneficial to me in the interactions that I've had with people. I can't remember if I talked about it on the podcast, but in part because of how I was able to come out of this, I'm not afraid to talk about the fact that I went through depression in school, mm-hmm. and that's the reason that I dropped out of school. And when I was depressed, and I had like a cry for help moment where I was like, I need to leave and I need help and blah blah blah, and I sought therapy. Mm-hmm. It didn't really work out for me the way that I wanted to, but because I went through that very, very dark moment in my life, every time I think back to things from that time or just have conversations with people about things like, oh, going back to school or having been in school or the fact that I didn't complete school, I don't hold shame about it anymore. Mm. I think a lot of people that, when they don't finish school, they're like, oh, I didn't, you know, they're like for quiet sure. about it. Oh, I didn't finish yes, school. Or,
for sure.
Or they're like, when they talk about stuff with mental health, they're like, oh, you know, I went to therapy. Mm-hmm. And they like whisper all those things for and sure. they feel shame about it. But I don't feel shame because I'm like, I was in a very dark, terrible, horrid place. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in that place anymore. So I don't feel shame about it. These things happened that led me to be in a position now where I'm not like making $1 million. I'm not running out doing all these things that other people would be feel like wonderful. I'm not taking Instagram pictures on the beach. I'm mm-hmm. not a size 2. I'm not a lot of things, mm-hmm. but I'm happy and I'm healthy, mm-hmm. and I'm not in a broken, dark place. And for me, that is the best thing that I can, like, that's more important than anything else. So I do talk about that time in my life and have been able to speak to people about therapy and mental health or depression with like a positive outlook and just like a hopeful conversation to say, like, you know, if that's something that you feel like you're going through, you really should like try and seek out help for it, or, mm-hmm. you know, talk about it. Like, don't feel ashamed that you're in that dark place, because there is hope mm-hmm. to come out of it. Especially if you do ask for help. Like I said, therapy didn't work out for me the way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily blame therapy for that. I blame the process by which I went to therapy and the person that I saw. Mm-hmm. So if I felt like I needed it again, I wouldn't be opposed to seeking it again.
Okay.
But I've literally been having like multiple conversations with people, not necessarily that they felt like they were suffering from mental health or depression specifically, some yes, some no, but just where they're like in a bad place. And I feel like I'm able to give them more than just a pat on the back and it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I can speak to it more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my 2 cents on it. I don't know if that's all that you were trying to get out of it.
Yeah, no, that was great. That was a great example. Like you said, a negative situation that either turned into a positive or you got something positive out of it. The fact that you can be an advocate and speak for people who are going through the same, or speak to people that are going through the same thing, or people that might be wary or hesitant to seek additional help is a wonderful thing. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about it is, like, I feel like I'm having these conversations with people, of course, that I know,
mm-hmm.
but that, like, the dynamic of our relationship never would have been having those type of conversations,
mm.
or just, like, thinking about those things. Like, a lot of times, whether it's, like, friends or family,
mm-hmm.
I think you always look to each other to like, remember happy moments.
Yeah.
Like, you like to reflect back on, oh, that funny thing that happened, or that time this thing happened, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the reason why when people are going through hard times, they find it difficult to find someone to talk to or reach out to because they only want to stay in like happy moments with people, or they only want to remember happy moments with people. And they're like, I can't let them see me, or I can't talk about this unshiny part, this unhappy part, because that's not what we do, or that's not the relationship that we have, or that's not how I want to present myself. Right. And I'm having these conversations with people that I've never used to have with them, but now it's like creating a new depth in our relationship where it's more than just, oh, that one time that funny thing happened. Ha 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 ha.
That's important. It's important to carve out space in those kinds of relationships so that you can be free to be your full self, which is scary. And I know something we talked about previously, but that's a real thing. How I want someone to perceive me and our history together, like trusting somebody with a new emotion of yours is a real thing, especially when we talk about, like you said, funny videos, funny past things, funny interactions, happy, 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 happy. And deciding to say, you know what, I want to share this negative or dark thing. You don't know really how they will respond if you're not already used to doing that. So that is a big deal. And I will hope that we could all like normalize that, or maybe even like offering that up in a kind of way where maybe you share something not so happy going on, and maybe they'll be like, oh, so I can talk to him or her about this type of stuff. So yeah.
Or even just like, people sometimes feel like they're going to be judged if they do go to people for certain things. So yes. Like, I have someone that I've talked to recently, and to me, we haven't talked in a long time, but in my mind, I'm like, whenever you're going through something, yeah, you can definitely feel like you can talk to me. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as like that moment when people start to let down those walls, or those walls break down without their permission, or whatever the case may be, then they go to that, oh, I can't believe like I'm crying, or I'm not trying to cry, or I can't believe that I'm in this situation, or just, you know, like they're like, I don't know how to say this thing because I've never, like, they go to that like reflexive thing where they're trying to, they feel themselves breaking. Mm-hmm. They feel like their holes are showing. They feel like all these things, and they're more concerned about covering up what they feel to be flaws, mm-hmm. as opposed to showing them so that someone can help them fix it. And it's like, that's why they came here. They came here because they knew they needed help. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like when you go to the doctor and you're like, I know I'm sick, but I also don't want to tell the doctor everything because I don't want the doctor to judge me. Right. They can't help you. Right. You got to be willing to let them know what's really going on, to let all of the unpretty parts show so that you can really get the help that you need.
Right. You have to have some level of trust, or go beyond your level of trust, like Mandy said, to let them know everything that's going on. It's kind of like asking for a diagnosis and being like, you know, I cut my finger, but really like your heart stopped because maybe you was eating something you weren't supposed to be eating, like off of somebody's butt or something. Maybe you was just doing something wild, but you don't want to fully tell the full story, but it's important to tell the full story. Yeah. I'm getting there. It's important to tell the full story so you can be diagnosed. They'd be like, oh, you had a heart attack because of the situation and the butt made you have pink eye. Like, they need to know everything. So, yeah. And if you're hesitant, all I can say is I encourage you to try it. If it doesn't work out, maybe try with another person. Like, trust me, we are not all unicorn, gumdrops, rainbows, and candy buttons over here. So,
do you have an example?
Yes. I was talking to my brother the other day, and we were talking about, I'll just keep it general. We were talking about like family members that taught us like seeing different things in different family members and being like, yeah, I don't want that in a partner. Or, yeah, I don't want that in a wife. Yeah, I don't want that in a husband. Just like things like that, just like red flags, things we're looking out for. And so mm-hmm. he started telling this story. He was like, yeah, I remember when we used to go to the store and walk to the store and all these guys would catcall you and you ignore them. And, you know, he's like, I'm your younger brother, so I want to do something and speak up. But you'd be like, no, like, you know, chill, let's just keep going or just ignoring them. He's like, and I remember like you and just wanting to protect you and wanting to be like, I never want to be like that. I never want to be some dude catcalling. I never want to be some dude going after some woman and then, you know, her saying no. And oh, because there was one time, oh, I wanted to light that man up, but we were so young and we'd just been starting to get allowed to walk places together. So that's another reason I didn't want to say anything. But I was walking with my brother to the store one time, and this is an explicit episode, right? Yeah, because we said shiny shit. So I was walking to the store with him one time, and that might be the title, right? And this guy was like, hey, da, 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 hey, little mama, hey this, hey that. And I was just like, no, thank you. I'm not anybody's mom. I had a smart little mouth. I'm not anybody's mom. He's like, oh, I'm just trying to talk to you, da, 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 da. And I was like, no, thank you. And that quickly turned into, I don't want to talk to your ugly dog ass, bitch ass anyway. And me and my brother are just kind of looking like, what the hell? And I was like, let's walk faster. Cause you know, guys across the street, I'm like, I don't know if he's gonna come attack us after this. Like, let's walk faster. Let's get around people. So I'm happy that those negative experiences made him into this person where it's like, when a woman says no, he's like, no. And I was asking about crushes and stuff like that. And he was like, well, there's this one girl I confessed my feelings to, and she wasn't feeling it. And I was like, all right. And he's like, I left it alone, because if you're not feeling it, then that's it. No means no. I'm not going to pursue it. I'm not about to, you know, say I have these feelings for you, or I'm crushing on you and you reject me and I'm going into a tizzy. And I felt really proud of him for that, because for a lot of people, no doesn't mean no. For a lot of people, yes doesn't mean yes. For a lot of people, me saying, oh, I'm not sure, or oh, I'll call you when I want to, or oh, let me chill out, they don't get that as a signal or as a hint. And for him, he's just like, all right, you know, any sign of distress or no, or I'm not sure, is for him, he sees that as, let me back off. And so I'm happy that those kind of negative experiences shaped him into being this person with that kind of understanding.
That is a good thing to learn, because, I mean, some people, of course, say, like, your parents are supposed to teach you that. And sure, in theory, your parents will teach you that, but it's also, like, a reflection of your environment.
Right.
And he remembers it not from his parents saying, don't treat mm-hmm. a woman this way, mm-hmm. but because of an experience that he had
mm-hmm. good point.
And that stayed with him.
It's a really good point.
And for a lot of people, it would be like an experience they saw where someone was catcalling and that they may have looked up to, and they Ooh. Thought that that was the right thing to do.
I feel like Willow Smith. Those are some good points. Yes.
Like, I feel like that's this guy that I talked to in college, and I always, like, he was definitely an asshole. How I described him, but I would see him be like asshole-ish in general, not always specifically to me, but I wasn't afraid to be like, you're an asshole and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And he understood that in theory that he would behave like an asshole, but he also thought, well, that's cool, or that's like the right move to make, or that's, you know, girls like it, or it don't, even if I am an asshole, I can still get a girl and blah, 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 blah. Mm. And it's now in, you know, our adulthood that he can reflect on it, and he's like, that's the way I thought I was supposed to behave, so I did. He described it as like, you know, doing like little thuggish things and whatnot. And then he was like, but then I got to college and it's like, I'm not a thug. I'm not even trying to be a thug for it. Like, the people that I saw that would behave that way, that are thuggish, they're not in now in this college environment, and I'm in this college environment, and I'm dealing with different circumstances, so why am I still trying to do that? Mm-hmm. Like, because I thought it was cool, and in theory maybe it was cool, you know, but it's like, it's just also a thing that people adopt and carry on. Mm-hmm. And now that he's older, he's like, I don't have to do, like, why am I doing that? I could also just be like not an asshole and still get the, a girl,
right? Well, what do we do about, like, because I don't have this, okay. So I don't have that trail of thinking like that we're having right now where it's like you say, two people might see the same experience and one person's like, oh, that's how I'm supposed to behave. And the other person's like, oh, that's not how I'm supposed to behave. Like, is there a point of grace we're supposed to give someone because they just might not know? Like, do you feel that way? Or do you feel like, eh, if you're of this age or of this maturity, you should know right from wrong by now?
I don't think it's like an age thing. And I don't know that I can give anyone grace that doesn't want it or that doesn't. It's the reflection thing, like I was talking about. Like, if you're willing to reflect and hear like someone else say that's not cool. Mm-hmm. And it may not be today. Like, maybe you'd be like, you'd be like, that's not cool. And then they'll be like, shut up, bitch. And then 5 years from now, they'll be like, you know what? That wasn't cool. It might be too late for them to redeem themselves with that one person, because when are they going to see that person that they went out and called a bitch?
Right.
But with other people, they might just be able to learn and say, I won't do this going forward. Mm. Like, it's too late for that one encounter, but it's not too late for the rest of my life.
That's fair. So maybe I won't see the reformation, but maybe someone else will.
Yeah.
All right.
But there's a lot of folks that, you know, are still holding that down or holding on to certain things. And there's a little bit of like negativity or just like bad behavior in that. Like sometimes I worry about that with folks who have traditional values. Mm-hmm. I remember being in college and this girl I knew from college did not like the concept of chivalry because she was like, people holding open the door for you and stuff. Like, a lot of folks were like, chivalry is dead, but they wanted it to stay alive. But she's like, chivalry is dead and it needs to be dead. Hmm. Because the concept of someone doing those chivalrous things came from a notion of women being inferior. Mm. And holding on to that, those chivalrous notions is holding on to women are inferior and need men to do for them. She didn't want to hold on to that concept. And I was like, I would hear her say that in college and I'd be like, okay, you overthinking it. Like, it's not all that. But then in my adulthood, I understand more so mm-hmm. what she means, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of times when guys do certain things for you, or there's like this idea of, and it's not just guys, like women hold that standard too, where it's like, if a man is supposed to do these things for you because it's chivalrous or because it's manners or because it's this, that, and the other, there are additional concepts behind that I may not agree with, mm-hmm. like expectations that come with a guy paying for anything for me. Mm.
Like wanting something in return, possibly.
Yeah, or just like an expectation behind it. Like,
okay.
Some people will say like, if they bought something for you or did something for you, then they can tell you about how you use it or how it works. Or even like something simple, like if a guy puts gas in your car and then he can go off on you about things with my car. No, it's still my car. Like, what are you talking about? Or say like, I put gas in the car for you because women don't know about cars. That's not what that means. Like, you know, things behind it where it's just like, and that to me isn't as like critical to just say women don't know about cars, but I'm also just like, but that's not even true.
Right.
Or just like those memes that will go around where they'll be like, there's a woman right now that hasn't with her check engine light on or hasn't changed her oil, and I'm just like, what? Like,
right.
There's men that never, that there's so many men I know that will ride their gas out till Kingdom Come and be like, well, there's however many miles after the check engine light come on. Or you could just put your gas in the car now. Like, what are you talking about? You think you know so much about cars that you're willing to put your car in a bad shape?
Right.
Or like, oh, I know what this check engine light means, so I'm not going to check it at the mechanic. Or it could be something else. Like,
right.
I just feel like there's a lot that comes with reinforcing traditional concepts. And I'm not necessarily for that. And I've been realizing a lot that I'm someone who grew up with traditional values, and I don't necessarily want to continue traditional values. And that really bothers some people around me, like particularly in my family. They're just like thinking that I'm almost like pursuing, I don't want to say demonic things, but just like the wrong things in life because I don't want to uphold certain traditional things. And I'm like, even like wanting to live in a tiny house or adoption. And I'm like, the concept of that isn't traditional, but mm-hmm. it's also not immoral. So right. Why do you view things that are untraditional as immoral? That's weird to me.
That is very, very weird as well to me.
But they just be like, nope, there's this one way of thinking and one way of doing things. And if you're not doing it like that, then you're doing it wrong.
And that's a parent thing or specific to the situation.
But I think that's how guys are too. They're like, if I said, hey, shawty, what's up? And you didn't respond back with, hey, then you a bitch. Because that's the way it's supposed to happen. If you don't respond back, I responded to you in a way that I felt was nice, and you didn't give me a response that I felt was nice. So you are now a bitch.
Yeah, a lot of I haven't had that happen in my adult life, which is also odd to me. I've had it mainly happen like probably between like 14 and 18 or 19 maybe ish, but not in my adult life.
But you have to think about the fact when that was happening to us between 14 and 19, all the guys that were doing it weren't 14 exactly. and 19. Some of them were 40.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. That doesn't make it okay. That's exactly right. That makes it even worse.
So they were adults that in theory should have known better and were still doing it.
That's accurate. That is 100% accurate. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, let me stop clicking my pen because I heard it on like 10 different episodes.
Yeah, I be commenting on it sometimes. You still do it. So I'm just like, all right.
I think it's become like a little habit of mine because I'm always like writing stuff down now when we talk for me to reference later. But yeah, I'm just going to put it down because I just put it in my mouth and I was like, oh, there's a pen here. Put it down. I don't mind chivalry. I was taught certain things, and it wasn't like a only fine guys like this type of thing, but my mom, one thing she said to me is like, it would be helpful if you know, and I mean, I guess she just assumed I wasn't a lesbian or bisexual or any other affiliation, but she was like, it would be helpful if you ended up with a guy who knew stuff about cars. And at the time I was just like why, what? I didn't have a car. Like, it wasn't relevant to me. This might be high school or whatever, stuff like that or whatever. But as I grew up and as I had multiple car problems, I ended up calling either someone I was talking to or eventually my dad to fix that someone I was talking to didn't know what they were doing. I was like, I see why she said that. She didn't say only, she didn't say solely, but she was like, it would be helpful because this is usually in, I guess, an American lifestyle, something that you're going to use and have, and it's not meant to last. So I understood that. And my dad actually did say, always see if a guy opens the door for you and see if he comes to the door, if he's taking you out. And I was just like, okay, but while I'm waiting for them to open my door, we could already be halfway up the steps by now. That's how my mind thinks. I'm thinking about time. I'm thinking about progress. I'm thinking about let's just hurry up and do this activity we're here to do. So it's funny because those things are important to me now. When I needed my tire change, the guy I was talking to at the time, I had to be like 19 or 20. He came over to do it and couldn't do it. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on here. Cause like I felt like I knew how to change a tire, but I was like, I feel like I'm going to mess it up because I've never done it by myself. So I was just scared. I probably could have done it by myself. And so he couldn't do it. He was like, I think this is too tight or something. Da-da-da. He was like, yeah, you might have to take it to the shop or call a mechanic. And I was like, all right. And after he left,
how I
was
am I
like,
going to take it to the shop with my tire?
He meant like get a tow. And I was like, okay. Oh. Yeah. But after he left, I called my dad. I was like, hey, dad, this is what's going on. And he was like, all right, I'm on the way. And he did it like with ease. And I was just like, why couldn't this dude? And he was like, what did he say? Because I told him, I was like, I had a guy friend try to change the tire and he couldn't do it. And he was like, what did he say the problem was? I was like, he said the bolt or something was too tight. And my dad was like, oh, okay.
That's funny.
So yeah, I like doors to be open for me, but I don't mind opening my own door. I like for people to come to the door if they're receiving me, but I don't mind meeting you out at the car. I am okay with going Dutch. I am also okay with you pay this time, I get next time. Semicolon, however, comma, there are times where I want to feel like a princess or a queen. There are times where I want to be treated like a delicate flower, but I don't feel like it's in the sense of this man is superior to me. It's more so in my mind, like, I want you to be gentle and nurturing and loving with me.
I have a few questions, comments, points.
Sure.
Have you since changed your own tire?
No, because like my insurance, they like have this thing where it's like free for them to just come out and do it. So it's like, if I'm paying for it, y'all can just do it.
Okay. I feel like you know this. The podcast probably doesn't know this. I have changed many of my own tires.
What?
Why are you sounding surprised?
I didn't know that.
Oh, well then that's just weird because I've done it many, many times.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I guess I'm surprised because I didn't know, but I'm not surprised that you as a woman can change your own tire, but I just didn't know.
Yeah, I've done it many, many times.
Many times? What kind of tires are you buying?
I mean, it's the concept of tires get needles in them, or
that's true. Nails, rocks, glass, yeah,
all kinds of things happen where tires flat, messed up, jacked up, whatever, it needs to be replaced, and even if, or just like switched out until you can get that tire fixed or whatever the case may be. So I've had to change my tire a few times. Mm-hmm. And I did learn that from my father. But I feel like that's in part... my dad is like traditional, but at the same time, he was always teaching me things to do independently.
Mm-hmm.
And both parts are very annoying for me sometimes, to have someone that was like trying to force things down my throat that I didn't want to learn or do by myself. And then sometimes when I'm doing things, he's like, you have to let this person do this, or you let me do that, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, what? Like, you taught me to be independent, right? And now that I'm independent, you're like, I need to be traditional,
right?
It makes sense.
makes sense. But are you helpful with those lessons now when you look back on it, or look how you're applying them to your life?
I mean, I'm definitely thankful that I know how to change my own tire, because even though it's gonna take me, you know, a minute to change it, mm-hmm. it can still be longer to wait for someone to come out and do it for me. So I don't want to be like stuck in a bad situation trying to wait for someone else to do it. So I'm grateful to be able to do it. I'm also grateful to be financially stable to call someone to come change my oil. Like, I don't change my own oil. even though my dad taught me how to do that as well. That wasn't something I was particularly interested in doing.
Yeah, I'm, again, so used to taking myself to shops, but the last person that I was on again, off again dating was very vehicle inclined. So they changed my oil, changed my tires, did rotations, changed spark plugs, did all these things. And if you know me and know the trek that I've had with my little Susie Suzuki before I donated her, she always had something going on, like always. So it was like, it was a big concern for me. It would be a concern if I need to go run an errand at work and she wouldn't start, or if I need to da da da. Remember one time I stopped for gas, I got gas and she wouldn't turn back on. This person came there, put the stuff in the car, did all the things or whatever, got me rolling again, followed me back to work. Like, and so that was just like a load off of my shoulders because it was always an issue. So yeah.
Yeah. Additionally, when it comes to like guy, me going out with guys, I let them pay because that's I used to be uncomfortable with that. Like,
because of the expectation.
Yes.
Okay. Which shouldn't be there at all.
Yes, I agree. But I expected it to be there, mm-hmm. and I would just try to prevent, like, before you can even try and whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm, you know, I can do for myself. Like, you don't have to feel like you can do for me. But then I would find that, in, even if it wasn't necessarily like going out and spending money, I would do. I feel like I do for people.
Yes.
Whether it's someone that I'm dating or a friend or whomever. So it's like, if I'm giving of myself to someone else, I should let them give unto me. Yeah. And so I started to let them do that. And if at any point someone's like, feels like they've done too much for me, then I'm like, all right, well, then you're already like showing yourself. Yeah. Like, because I'm never someone that doesn't reciprocate behaviors, whether it's attention or in giving of something. Like, it may not be the exact same thing, but I definitely feel like I give to other people, so I don't feel like I'd have to worry about I'm not reciprocating that type of energy to someone that's giving it to me. And if they feel like that, then I'm like, okay, either I'm not doing enough, and I will have that introspective moment to say, no, I'm doing enough, or they're expecting something of me, to which I'm like, well, I'm not about to give you what you're expecting. So if you don't want to do that anymore, you don't have to. I don't need you to do for me. And I really haven't had that problem. What I have had was people complain. I feel like sometimes, like, how do I say this? Someone that I felt like wasn't doing all that much would be like complaining, like, oh, I have to pay. And I'm like, oh, you ain't never gotta pay again. Like, but you ain't never gotta pay again. I don't know how many times we're going to go out after this, but sometimes you're not even comfortable. You're comfortable with Dutch. You're not comfortable with me paying for both of us. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So it's like, if you can't do for both of us because of whatever your circumstances, that's fine. I can do for both of us this time, but you're not comfortable with that. But you also feel like you want to pay, but you're going to complain about it, or you're going to make it like some weird energy, like make me feel bad because you've had to pay for me. I'm not about that life. If you're not doing it with a willing, giving heart, don't do it. If you can't afford it, don't do it. I'm not putting that pressure on you. I always say, like, the person that initiates the date should pay for the date.
For sure.
And when I'm initiating dates, I don't be initiating stuff that's outside of my price range.
Hello? Yeah.
Excuse me. Could you hear that?
Yeah. That's like the second time. I completely agree with that. Well, first of all, the whole initiation, like, if I invite you out or offer something, then I, like, that's because I'm going to cover it. Like, to me, it's kind of a given. It's like I'm inviting you to this thing that you didn't have plans to do in the first place. So yeah, I'm in my head going to cover it. A lot of times the guy will just cover it anyway. And I'm like, no, we'll go back and forth. And usually I get the guy, not get the guy, but usually it's a guy. I'm not saying usually. There's never been a time really where I've gone out and gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, of course I've paid before, but usually the guy's like, no, I got it, da da da. And I'm not saying it has to be that way. One thing I did come across a recent minute ago was this post, and it was basically, I shared it with our girlfriend group chat. Basically, one of the guys from Love & Hip Hop Miami, one of the rappers, was talking about he's not going to have any any bitches or hoes in his section anymore, drinking up all his drink, not contributing, smoking up all his hookah, eating up all lemon pepper wings. No, you got to show up with something. You got to bring some wings. You got to bring some something. You got to bring some food. I'm not going to keep letting y'all da da da. And I was like, first of all, you're allowing those kinds of people into your life. Second of all, is this the same requirement that you give to your homeboys? And that's kind of how I try to maneuver when I think of certain things. I'm like, if I would do first, especially if I'm not in a relationship with somebody and we're going out for the first time, if I would do this for Mandy, who's my homegirl, then why would it be a problem for me to do it for this person who doesn't even know me? You know what I mean? Like that. So I have a real big problem with guys being like, oh, I got to pay for everything, or you always relying on me, or why is it, you know, up to me just because I'm a man, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, do you give that same energy to your homeboys when they show up empty handed, or when y'all go out and you cover it? Is that the same energy you give to them? That's my question.
I was watching Ready to Love, the new season, and I'm pretty sure he didn't understand it. And I don't know if he understands it on the back end now that it's airing. But one of the men that went home basically was saying that he believed in or reinforcing like certain traditional values and how the man should be. He specifically said like he feels like the man should control certain things. So the woman was like, well, what things do you feel like you should be in control of? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you're putting it out there that you want to be in control of stuff. And so then they started talking about finances and handling stuff. And he was like, well, I don't think that I should have to pay for everything. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, for example, you have two kids and I don't have any kids. I don't feel like I should pay for everything for you and your kids. And it's like, that was a turnoff to her and the women that heard it, because you've initiated this conversation by saying you want to be in control of stuff, but you don't want to care for the circumstances that you're in control of. And I don't think that he, if that's not how he meant it, he needed to explain that further. Like to say, like, he never specified what it was that he felt like he should be able to control or should be in control of as a man. Hmm. But if you start to talk about finances and saying that you don't want to, like, you want to be in control, but you don't want to be responsible, that's where the conflict comes in. That's where, to me, it's an issue where it's like, you are initiating certain things to say that you want to pay for it because you want that control. Then you're complaining about it because now you're feeling the responsibility and the weight of that control. Hmm. You can't have it both ways. Right. Like, you can't say, I want to control things, but I don't want the responsibility.
Yeah, that doesn't add up. And I don't, like you said, I don't know if he's getting it now that he's seeing it back. Because, you know, how we perceive something in the moment can definitely be viewed differently after we see it played back, especially on TV. Mm-hmm. But I hope he understands that. I hope most guys and gals get that type of understanding where it's like, if you, I don't know. I don't feel like because someone has this extremity or because someone identifies as this, they're automatically responsible for everything. Because it's like, if you don't have that kind of person already in your life, you're solely responsible for it, right? Before you meet one of them. So what happens after you meet one of them? You just forget how to take care of yourself and be responsible for yourself and be independent? You just forget?
Right. And to the women, they're like, I'm already handling myself and my kids. Like, I'm not coming into this not handling my business. But if you're coming in and you're bringing yourself apart, if you want to be a part of my life, you can't think that my kids aren't a part of that, which is what most of the women were saying. Like, you can't say that you want to be in my world and act like my kids don't exist.
Right.
Especially if it's for the long term. Like, yeah, you may have to take on some of that responsibility because they are a part of my life. But I think he was looking at it probably from the perspective of, I'm not trying to buy you and your kids dinner every night or pay all the bills. Mm. and not have no help and blah, blah. But again, it's like, well, what is it? What's that control business that you're talking about? And the same can be said for women. Like, if you are going to expect someone to cover all of those things, then you may be giving up some level of control, because a lot of times when people are like, some people aren't just like, here's my money, do what you want with it. Some people are like, if I'm putting my money towards this, there has to be rules and stipulations that align with my beliefs.
Right.
And if you're not willing to give up that control about how, you know, in order to receive people's funds or do with what they want, then you don't need to give that up. You don't need to take from people if you're not willing to take the stipulations that come with it.
Exactly. I agree. I feel like this could probably span out on a whole nother episode. That was a good chat. Good chat.
Probably.
Yeah. Moving on to our underappreciated awards. Who is receiving?
You got it.
Who is receiving and or what and or why and or where is receiving your underappreciated awards for today, Mandy?
My underappreciated award today is going to quarantine babies and the parents of quarantine babies.
Serious stuff.
As my sister pointed out to me, in theory of the timeline, when we say quarantine started, no quarantine babies have yet been born. There's some babies who have been born in quarantine, but no babies that were made as a product of quarantine have yet been born, but that time is soon coming. And I feel like they are going to be a very unique generation.
For sure.
Having been conceived out of probably boredom and or locked inness, like being trapped together, was like, well, it was this or something else and we chose this and now here we are type thing. So I want to shout out to those quarantine babies who were, in theory, like we talked about in the meat and potatoes, born out of a hard time, conceived out of a hard time. And hopefully they are going to grow up to be great people doing great things. And hopefully their parents will look at this difficult time with joy and beauty. Because there's a lot of cool people popping up being like, we having a baby, surprise.
There are definitely a lot of those, for sure. So shout out to you all.
Shout out to y'all.
My underappreciated award is going to Burt Belasco. And he recently passed away. He's an actor. I know him best from Let's Stay Together, but he was also in the show called Pitch and
the baseball show.
I know it's a TV series. Let me double check. Yeah, it's a baseball show on Fox. So yeah, it's going out to him because what'd you say?
The lady pitcher, I think, was the premise of the show.
Yeah, she was definitely the main character. But Burt Belasco, he just always looks so young to me. He always looks so young in like a perfect Tyler Perry character. So I'm glad he, you know what I mean? That he like earned that role. And he's only 38. So I'm just like, wow. So just shout out to him and the work that he was able to contribute to while he was here.
Yeah, I remember him from Let's Stay Together. I only watched the first episode of Pitch, so I don't remember seeing him. I just remember the girl, I think her name was Kylie Bunbury, and Mark Paul Gosselaar. But I do remember Burt Belasco's smile. And it was a nice one.
Yeah.
And I definitely, when I saw he had passed away, I felt like, he was good at what he did, and I never heard anything bad of him. So to know that he's not around, you know, sucks.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. Would you like to tell the listeners where they can find us, Mandy?
Sure. Now that I'm not coughing, hey. I don't even know what that was.
And I'm not clicking again.
Yep. Distraction. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at MNO Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can send us your DMs, comments. I hope y'all answered those poll questions that Ali put up on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can also send us your questions, comments, and concerns at mandyandali@gmail.com. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Please be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen so that you know when we drop a new episode.
And so that Mandy doesn't disregard the podcast altogether. So please, please. Yep,
because I wasn't going to say anything today, and I didn't. And then Ali was like, you want to do this? And I was like, sure. So... you know,
one day at a time.
I thank Ali for this episode this week. One day at a time.
Okay, it was good talking to y'all.
I step to you and bye. I ask your name. Bye. Yeah, I came with game. Tell me your name. She said, Roxanne. Then you look so familiar. Yeah, you look so familiar. Don't I know you from back when? Yeah, way, way back when.